Hi, I'm Marlo Higgins, and I spent nearly four decades as an entrepreneur building systems that maximize time and results. I'm a business coach that helps entrepreneurs get crystal clear on what it takes to make their vision a reality. I'm obsessed with clarity because business operations that are rooted in clarity are exponentially more likely to succeed. So join me as I explore the proven habits and strategies that have helped myself and hundreds of other entrepreneurs create a vision, execute a plan, and refine a legacy of success. This is 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. All right, welcome back to this week's episode of 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. We've got Melissa Allen. I'm really, really excited. We've gotten to know each other, and Melissa is a human biologist, and she's bridging the gap between the physical therapy and the fitness. She's also an executive director for Covert Military Grade Sunscreen, and so we're going to investigate that, talk about that. But truly, the message for our episode today is this: that it's possible to do something you love outside of just doing something to make money. And so it's going to be a rich conversation in that side of the business and life. So Melissa, thank you for being a guest of ours today.
Sure thing. And by the way, it's pronounced cover.
Cover. Talk to me about that. Okay, well, let's jump right back into that. So the executive director of Cover, which is military grade sunscreen, how did you come to that product, and who's your ideal client?
Our ideal client is athletes and outdoor adventurers, people like ourselves. And the reason we created this whole thing is because our puppy discovered skin cancer on my husband's scalp. He's just getting a little bit bald right up there. And our pup was really obsessed with just looking at it, to be honest with you, but it just continued until the next day. Made us look at it a little bit closer, and it looked like a blackhead, to be honest with you, like a tiny blackhead. One thing led to another, and he visited a dermatologist, ended up being basal cell carcinoma. And then I came up with the idea to start the sunscreen brand shortly after that.
What's the process in starting a sunscreen brand? I mean, like, what were the first steps for you as an entrepreneur in business? Our listeners are thinking, okay, how do you take something from like that experience and say, hey, I'm going to make a military grade sunscreen? Like, what was the process? I'm curious.
The first thing I think I had to find a place to manufacture the sunscreen. Just finding somebody to work with, a small business of our size, was not easy. And I remember I personally hand-called over 100 companies, 100. And I don't know any other fast way around that. I mean, since then, I found a couple websites that you could probably identify potential collaborations quicker. But I didn't know how to do any of that. That's how I got started. And probably about the 100th call that I made, I found a company that was willing to work with me. So it was a slow grind.
Well, yeah. And persistence is the name of the game. I mean, anybody's hearing that going, yep, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. But you obviously had a mission behind it. Now, why did you name it Cover?
I just thought it seemed logical, and it kind of explained what you're doing. You're going to cover yourself and protect your skin. And originally, I actually was spelling it K-O-V-E-R. Someone suggested I take out the E, which I think is a great idea. Anytime you can be shorter, more concise, I think it's always better.
Yeah, so K-O-V-R. For anybody that's listening, wants to Google that, absolutely. And you've got a military background. Is that correct, Melissa? You want to give us some, or your husband does at least?
My husband has a military background. Yeah. He was in the U.S. Navy, and we were both born in Iowa. That's what brought us out here to the San Diego area. He was in for 14 years, and now he's actually a helicopter mechanic at the base. So he's a government employee now. So now he's a veteran, so he's not in active duty anymore.
So you're an entrepreneur who has both a service business and a product business that's in the market. And so it's an intertwined conversation about how you manage both of those areas. What part of it, the service or the product, takes most of your time and energy?
Well, the service business I've been doing for 24 years. So I would say I'm, you know, pretty experienced with that. And there's not too many things that I don't know about that are new to me when it comes to that, aside from meeting new clients, which is always enjoyable to work with. But the product company, on the other hand, there is a lot to that. I mean, if you think about it, most people that you know, business owners, they probably have a service-related business. Having a product was, you know, a lot different, just a lot. They're just something as simple as figuring out a UPC code, for an example. There's so many scams out there based around that. I think I gave you that example when we first spoke.
Right.
if you Googled UPC codes, that quite a few places would come up and they'd all look legit. And so I purchased one when I first got started. And there's only one called GS1. Okay. I don't have the URL off the top of my head, but right. If you probably Google GS1, that would come up. But, you know, that was like a name that I didn't know. And so it's just one of those things that I think scammers learn early on. It's very confusing to figure this stuff out. It's just an easy scam to start up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what makes business so hard, right? You're somebody mm-hmm. who now you've, you know, made 100 calls to get the business off the ground. Now the next step is, you know, you get this UPC code and it's just, you know, one obstacle after another. What's your mindset? Yeah. Melissa, like, what are you thinking when you're going through an experience like that in business?
I just think that where there's a will, there's a way. And just a matter of time till I figure it out, I guess.
Right, right. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the service side and what you've been doing for 20 plus years.
That's Optimum Condition. So I say I'm like a bridge between a physical therapist and general personal trainer. I've always been lifting weights pretty much my whole life since I was about 14. And originally I planned on going to medical school and I didn't realize that people made a living by helping people optimize their health. I'm also a certified health coach. And you hear that word be tossed around a lot these days. And part of the problems is that there really isn't any regulations in either of those industries, whether it be training or coaching. Anybody can call themselves a trainer or a health coach, but what I discovered after being in the training aspect of the business for so long, which has been great, and then, you know, like we talked about, my background is biological science, so I already knew a lot about the body. But with health coaching, it was interesting. Something came through from our insurance about health coaching. And so I'm always looking at other ways, like I can expand within like the allied healthcare industry and help people in other ways. And so I ended up calling about this, and I called the insurance company. And so I'm asking her questions. And then the lady says, well, what kind of health problems are you having? Maybe I can direct you. And I said, to be honest with you, I'm not having any health problems. I was just curious about this and how this works, you know? And she explained, she worked at, let me think, it was a hospital location here in San Diego. And she said, they regularly hire health coaches and certain insurances will cover health coaching, which was news to me, you know? So I found that really interesting that hospitals employ health coaches, but only from one specific certification, I guess you'd say. And a lot of these things are changing year to year. And I'm not usually in favor of government regulation, but in these cases, I am. In that case, it was Well Coaches was the only certification that the hospital would hire health coaches with. So I was like, oh, interesting, you know?
Well, and it removes a barrier or a block when the insurance company is going to pay for it, you know, on both ends.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm sure from your vantage point, okay, what's your experience of going through an insurance company for like the paid benefits? What have you found as the challenge in that space?
Well, to be honest with you, I have not gone through the insurance company for that. What I'm discovering is I did finish the certification, which took me about 18 months, to be honest with you. It wasn't one of those things that was easy to get through. And if I wasn't working full time, I'm sure I could have done it quicker. But what I'm discovering is a lot of the people that come to see me, since they know health coaching can be a possibility. Well, I called about the insurance because I saw it listed somewhere, but not all insurance covers it. So what I'm discovering is most of the people that come to see me, they do not have insurance that covers it.
Right.
So then they would have to pay cash.
Yeah. But like you said, I mean, that's just being smart in business. And I love how you're looking at that and inquiring it. I would think anybody that's listening to this, you're extremely curious, Melissa. I mean, those are the things. I mean, you like to poke holes, you like to ask the questions, but I think that's also gotten you as far as you have. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what's curiosity?
Curious.
Yeah. How is that serving you?
Well, I think I don't have too many dull days. You know, I have really interesting people that I meet that I get to work with. And then I'm here in the East County of San Diego, and I'm part of the San Diego East County Chamber of Commerce, which is a great organization. And we have many business owners and non-business owners in there. Lots of interesting people. And I have just a good network of healthcare professionals that I built that I can utilize with my clients and stuff. So I have very interesting conversations, and I think it just helps me because I am curious about things. I suppose if I didn't find any of that interesting, I suppose it'd be a pretty dull day, right?
Well, and it goes into the, like what I said, you know, the message of the episode is just, you know, it's possible to do something that you love outside of doing something just to make money. How does that impact you specifically?
Well, I had lots of jobs growing up in the Midwest, and I've kind of been pretty entrepreneurial probably since I was about six, but I didn't know that word then, you know. And I used to have lots of jobs, and I never had a job longer than a year that I found interesting. And I remember I used to think specifically that there was something wrong with me. I couldn't have imagined like going to the same place every day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I had a lot of people in our family that were government employees, like my husband is. And that's a great job. It just wasn't the job for me. I'm sorry, what you had, could you rephrase that again?
Yeah. So, you know, like just the fact that it is possible to do something that love, you know, outside of just doing something to make money. I think that's, I mean, such a powerful message.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, along the way, I started looking at some things that I was already doing. Like I took a job at a gym. And like I said, you know, my degree was already in biological science, and I just didn't realize it was possible to make a living helping people to optimize their health. And I feel like that's my calling. I mean, I'm blessed to have found what I do, and I love what I do. And honestly, even if I didn't make money, I would probably still do the same thing.
Yeah. And it's the passion piece. And we always say passion over paychecks, right? When you're passionate about something, you don't have to worry about the money piece. And I think there's a big piece of that. And that passion, if you continue to, you know, to feed it, which you have, it's taken you to multiple arenas. And you've also stated that, you know, you've been somewhat intuitively guided in business, right? You guide just kind of by your gut reactions to things. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that, Melissa, and like how you just, like you said, I mean, you didn't think you were smart enough. Like you knew well enough, you couldn't go to a 9-to-5. Those things weren't serving you. Mm-hmm. But how do you let your intuition support your success in business?
To be honest with you, I get a lot of my ideas when I'm sleeping. I mean, I have sometimes multiple dreams a night, and it usually comes to me in the morning. I mean, I think that's what solidified the fact that we were going to start a sunscreen business. Because, you know, I'd already had the other company going for probably, 17 years then, maybe longer, 18 years. And I just woke up and knew that that was going to be like the next challenge for us. And we were at a point in our lives where we needed something to be excited about. I mean, I was happy about my business, but my husband was making a lot of changes. He was leaving a job after 18 years that he had been at. This was after the military. So then he worked at a cable company, which he liked. I mean, he liked that he got a lot of benefits out of it, but he was just going through a lot of changes. He had some health problems. It was very stressful. His job was very stressful. And that's when we realized he was going to change positions. And he just needed something to be excited about, to be honest with you.
So your intuition just said, hey, these are some of the ways that I need to navigate and the things that I need to work on. So as a human biologist, you know, at Optimum Condition, which is the company that you have and the service that you provide, what are the types of things that you do most, Melissa, with these clients?
I help people start a organized and safe health and fitness program. And in some cases, that may consist of maybe only in the beginning, it might only be some type of conditioning and stretching. Depends on what level they're at, because everything is customized, you know. Other people come in, they may be an athlete, and they may be suffering from like chronic ankle sprains. I had one guy that was a soccer player like that. It just varies a lot. I only work with adults, no kids. And we used to do group classes as well as privates. I used to have some instructors, but everything changed during COVID, especially here in California. And now I only specialize in one-on-one. So in some cases, someone may need health coaching along with physical training. So it just depends on the person and what they're looking for and what their goals are.
By specializing, you know, because I think that's a buzzword right there, you know, by keying in, everybody says focus on the one thing. How has that changed your business? Has it enhanced it in any way, Melissa, versus kind of the broad spectrum approach to working with people? Like, why did you decide that outside of like the reason with COVID, you were kind of seeing the benefits, but has it changed your business concept and approach?
Yes, dramatically. It's something that I wish I would have realized a long time ago. One of the things I did, which is kind of standard in the beginning, people have classes whenever they have like a health and fitness center of any nature. It's pretty traditional. And so we'd have yoga because I saw yoga as being beneficial to strength, mobility, and stability are the three things that I specialize in as far as like the physical aspect. And if a yoga instructor had to call in or something, like she was sick, I wouldn't necessarily have another instructor. I mean, I would have them, but I'd have to call around and get somebody. It's not like I could go teach it. In other words, you know, people just figure, I guess, that I would know all that. That's not my specialty. And anyway, in the end, having classes that really, I think it kind of distracted from what I do really well. So because we were shut down during COVID, after we got through it, I decided not to bring those back. And I kind of changed my focus a little bit from like traditional one-on-one in-person training. Like now I also utilize an app. So I call it hybrid training. So I have a couple options for people. Price point is obviously lower on the hybrid, and I still see them, unlike a lot of people that are doing this online training everywhere. That's not for me either. Like, I want to see people so they can come in less frequently, but they still have to come in.
Excellent.
A minimum of once a month.
Yeah. No. And that's,
works really
you
well.
Know, and it's the accountability feature. So are you working with top athletes, Melissa, or are you working with just like general people who are seeking good health? And what's the differentiator of who you like to work with?
I have worked with some athletes before, and I'm not at liberty to say who, but primarily what I get would be like semi-professional athletes or just people who are athletic, you know, after work and on the weekend, that kind of thing. And I like those kind of people. I like people that are just a challenge, that tend to know a lot and want to optimize their health to the best of their ability. Those are the kind of people I like to work with.
Well, and that's the synergy, right? Like, you're at that level as well. Yeah. And so you kind of meet your match. Uh-huh. And so you kind of feed off of each other, wouldn't you agree? I mean, that there's things there that they also have a bit of knowledge. You've got more of the accountability feature and you understand what it's going to take in that space. And so together, that's what makes it work so well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I also offer what I call like corrective exercise, which consists a lot of like myofascial release, if you know what that is. And there's another technique, it's known by a few different names, like Graston or instrument assisted soft tissue mobilization. It's a technique that breaks down scar tissue, which a lot of people will have scar tissue if they have an injury. Well, usually it goes hand in hand. I've never seen anybody without scar tissue if they have an injury. So anyway, that's a technique that I offer that most people do not. So that plays a big role with what I do and kind of differentiates me from other people.
Yeah. Okay. So let's change the conversation here just for the last few minutes. You know, as a business owner, when we were discussing it earlier, you said one of the greatest challenges you have really comes down to time. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah. I mean, we all have 24 hours in a day, right? And I realized that I'm a morning person versus an evening person. I mean, maybe in college I did things at night because I had to, but I'm definitely at my optimal level in the morning. And I generally get up at 5 a.m. to get my day started, but I was thinking, how could I create more time for myself out of the 24 hours that we have? This is something I started, maybe it was the second week of January, and I just decided I'm going to try to get up before my alarm goes off, for one. So I don't necessarily think it's healthy to be jolted awake in the morning. I don't think it's a healthy way to start out the day. So I just kind of decided I wanted to do that. And then just luckily, I just been waking up before my alarm. I still set it because I probably wouldn't sleep that well knowing that it wasn't on. But I, for the most part, wake up anywhere between like 2:30 and 4:30. And I get started with my day that way. That has helped significantly. I also gave up watching television through the week. Not that I ever watched a lot of it, but I'd watch like an hour or so. So I don't do that anymore. And then I have an intern that definitely helps. I think I outsource more than I ever used to before. Like, I realized I can't be a specialist and everything. I've kind of created a team, and I have discovered that things can be pretty enjoyable if you don't overload yourself, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, just, you got to have those boundaries. What was your decision to enlist support to help you with your success?
I think it's because early on with the sunscreen, I had attended like a manufacturing expo here in East County, San Diego. And I just was fortunate that I met this great group of people. And then from that, I discovered there was like the Small Business Development Center. I already knew about them, but I guess I never had an advisor like I have, Diana Barbiani, and she's just so well connected. Then I discovered that there was other ways that I could tap into some things that were already there, you know, to help business owners, because I mean, small business is the backbone of America. There's a ton of free resources that you could get. So that's how I think I started out in that area before I actually started hiring people on my own. So that was just a real godsend.
Now, did you come into it saying like, I need somebody for 10 hours? I mean, how did you approach, like, you're buying back some time, it's January, you know, you've been at this for a few months. How have you created how many hours to have somebody support you as a small business owner? What was your approach?
Well, two different things. Like when I came, when I attended that manufacturing expo, that would have been in the, probably 2019, like maybe 2020, but in the beginnings. And from that, I got people that were already specialists in what they did. Like I needed someone to help me with SEO on my website. Like I used to build websites for Optimum years ago, but things have changed a lot over the years. So I got that assistance. I had somebody that specialized in email marketing. Because remember, like all of a sudden I have a product now versus a service. So all those kind of things really helped a lot. Oh, and then Diana, my advisor, she was a buyer as well as a small business owner herself. So we started out in the B2C market. Like, you know, I built the website. I started selling through the website. I started selling on Amazon, selling on Walmart. But then I realized there's this whole other aspect, which was the B2B model, which Diana knew a lot about. So since then, I've hired sales reps. I have about 4 sales reps right now. So we're trying to move more into retail, more mom and pop shops. And so I expect this is going to be a real big year for us with that. And those people are located all throughout the United States.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, so we're coming into the close of this. What are the words of advice that you have for somebody who's operating in this space of duality of both having a service-based business, having a product-based business? What kinds of advice would you like to offer our audience today in that message?
One of the mistakes I made was I was trying to go too broad. I was trying to do everything at once. I was trying to do the B2C, the B2B, and also B2G, which is business to government. You know, we made some sales with water municipalities and other things. And while it sounded great, I was really just like this deep everywhere. And if I were to do everything over again, I would have just focused on one aspect and I would have gone really deep in that until I got it down thoroughly before I moved on to something else, which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of been a resounding message for you. I mean, you've really understood that, you know, I think as business owners too, we get really broad and we take on way too much. And then that's when we start to feel that overwhelm. And it's like, okay, I have to, you know, challenge myself to come up with a better way to do this, because I think that's just a natural tendency. Is there any question you wished you would have asked yourself at the very beginning to get more clarity around how you've approached this whole process? Is there a question?
Yeah, I wish I would have thought more about the difference between a product that someone sells and a product that falls within the FDA spectrum, because it's completely different. So I never really paid that much attention to labels. I don't know if you do, but if you look in your cabinets, like in the kitchen, you're going to see ingredients labels. If you look in your bathroom, you may see, it may say supplement labels or something like that, or it may say drug facts. Like I think Vaseline says drug facts. Definitely Aquaphor. Are you familiar with that?
Yep.
So Aquaphor spray is different than the Aquaphor gel for some reason. One will say drug facts and the other one doesn't. Just complications like that. I didn't really think too much about, you know, having an FDA registered label. There's a lot that goes into that.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. Well, this is just absolutely just a powerful message. Tell us, Melissa, as we're coming into the close, where can we get the cover sunscreen? Where can we find you? Some of the details outside of being in the show notes, but immediately, how can people reach out and connect?
You can just go to coverup.com. That's K-O-V-R-U-P.com.
Excellent. All right. Thank you for your time today. This is really rich and powerful and very much appreciated. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy this topic as much as I did? If you're looking for more insights like these or have a question you'd like to hear about on future episodes, text me at 319-250-2682 or click the link in the show notes. Remember, the road to success is better with friends. Be sure to share this episode to reach your goals together. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep your path clear and your energy high.